Lime green paint on the domes of the neighborhood mosques punctuated the khaki limestone in the Nablus Kasbah. Like tarnished copper tacks, they seemed to pin the Ottoman souk and the Mamluk Karnasavali to the floor of the valley. Otherwise, even the stones might get up and run away from the city town, Omar Youssef thought. The distant siren of an ambulance rumbled in the stomach of the city, and Omar Youssef felt the last crispness of dawn burn away in the sun. With his habitually shaky hand, he stroked the meager white hairs covering his baldness and clicked his tongue. These few strands wouldn't save his scalp from sunburn, and he could see that the day would be hot. Sweat itched behind his tidy gray mustache. He scratched his upper lip petulantly. He turned from the valley and contemplated the sparse spring grass stippling the rocky flank of Mount Gerizim. Let's see who gets burned worse, you or me, he thought. The mountains arced, sullen and taut, to the row of mansions on its ridge, as though tensing its shoulders to endure the heat of the day. A turquoise police car pulled up. The driver's window lowered, and a smoldering cigarette butt spun onto the sidewalk. Greetings, Usatz, Sami Jafari said. Get in. Omar Youssef left the paltry shade of a lacquered pinewood canopy outside his hotel, opened the door of the patrol car, and stretched a stiff leg into the passenger side. Grandpa, morning of joy! Bracing himself against the car door, Omar Youssef looked up. From the balcony of a second-floor room, his granddaughter waved. In her other hand, she clutched a book. He wriggled his fingers to her in greeting. Morning of light, Nadia, my darling, he said. Don't forget, you're taking me to eat kanafi today. Omar Youssef's mustache curled downward. Sweet things were not to his taste, but Nablus was famous for this dessert of goat cheese and syrupy shredded wheat, and this was Nadia's first time in the town. He anticipated that the inquisitive, methodical 13-year-old would want to compare the kanafi from a range of bakeries, and he would have to gulp it all down and grin indulgently. Even his considerable prejudice in culinary matters couldn't outweigh his love for this girl. He waved to her again. If Allah wills it, we'll eat kanafi soon, he said. Sammy, make sure you bring my grandpa back in time for a mid-morning snack in the Kasbah, Nadia called. He's on official police business now, Sammy shouted. We have to investigate the theft of a valuable historical relic. I'm warning you. I'll tell Minuan to call off the wedding if you don't bring him back in time. She won't marry you if I tell you you're not nice to little girls. Sammy stuck his tongue and put a thumb to his nose. Nadia giggled as the car pulled away from the curb. You're going to get fat in Nablus, Abu Ramiz, Sammy said, slapping Omar Youssef on the knee. From The Samaritan's Secret, an Omar Youssef mystery by Matt Bainon Rees. The tale, 50-something-year-old Omar Youssef, whom we just met, is happily awaiting their marriage of a young history teacher, morphed into police officer, later in the week, as our story takes place. But first, his friend whisks our main character to the site of what could have been a most significant crime, one of the oldest existing religious documents, an over 3,000-year-old document critical to the religious culture of the Samaritans, had been stolen from its safekeeping in an old Samaritan synagogue on the West Bank. As the priest in charge of the synagogue and its holy contents tells Omar and his policeman sidekick when they arrive on the scene, the Abisha? Omar Youssef's voice was low and reverent. What's that? Sammy said. A famous Torah scroll, Omar Youssef said. The oldest book in the world, they say. The priest raised his eyes to the ceiling. The five books of Moses, written on sheepskin 3,645 years ago, was written by Abisha, son of Pinchas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, who was the brother of Moses, in the 13th year after the Israelites entered the land of Canaan. Every year we bring it out of the safe, only for once, for our Passover ceremony on Mount Gerizim. It must be very valuable, Sammy said. It's beyond all value. Without this scroll, our Messiah can never return to us. Without this scroll, we cannot carry out the annual Passover sacrifice. And if we fail to sacrifice on Passover, we cease to be Samaritans, and the entire tradition of our religion comes to a terrible close. The priest's eyes were moist. You said the thieves told you to keep quiet, Omar Youssef spoke softly. I was blindfolded and taken to a place where I was shown the stolen scroll. They took me because they knew I would be able to recognize it and tell the rest of the community that it was safe. Then they demanded $1 million for its return. Did you pay? Sammy asked. We don't have $1 million. But the Abisha scroll has been returned. We asked for help from all our friends in Nablus. The priest lifted his hand in front of him, fingers pointing upward. Perhaps one of them was able to influence the thieves. What friends? We're part of the local community. My accent is like everyone else's in Nablus. I say oi when I mean to say I, just like the people in the Kasbah. We have friends among the business community, wealthy, powerful friends. And so Omar and his police officer friend become enmeshed in the world of the Samaritans, a small sect of the larger Jewish community, which has dwindled down to about 600 people, half of whom live in the West Bank near Nablus and half who live near Holon in Israel. As Omar and Sammy tell us in this dialogue, I knew you'd be intrigued. As a history teacher who's knowledgeable about all elements of Palestinian culture, they are part of the Palestinian culture, aren't they? The Samaritans? They've been here longer than we have, Sammy. They claim to be descended from some biblical Israelites who remained in this area when their brethren were exiled to Babylon. In a way, they're Palestinians and Jews neither, all at the same time. Then, in a twist that will surprise no one, Omar and Palestinian police officer Sammy suggest to each other a few moments later that the Samaritan priest they had just interviewed had not been fully upfront with them. And while we're not surprised that the mystery of the stolen artifacts are not solved within the first couple of chapters, where we go over the course of the story that remains is full of twists and turns and surprises that keep us turning these pages. For you see, a member of the tiny but ancient Samaritan community is murdered. Turns out he is the son of the priest just interviewed. But we learned further that the murder is more than the loss of a human life. The dead man had been in charge of millions and millions of dollars invested in Palestine by the World Bank in order to improve the social order, building hospitals, schools, water plants. If the World Bank is not appraised of these millions in the next few days, they threaten to cut off all aid money in the future. And young officer Sammy is warned off the hunt by corrupt officials high up in the Palestinian government itself, meaning it is up to our hero Omar to take up the hunt, chase down not only the murderer, but the disappeared money as well. It's a task that will take Omar and a reluctant Sammy and us much deeper into the city of Nablus, its residents, its environs, threats notwithstanding. Well, as the pages turn, the Samaritan secret unveils itself as a beautifully crafted, well-written novel that is smooth as silk and emotion-laden all at the same time. The characters in The Samaritan's Secret are as intriguing as the mysteries upon which they have stumbled. Reza's characters find their daily lives steeped in grinding hard work, corrupt political and business officials, and a powerful nation, a neighbor, whose own internal security needs make the Palestinians' lives more oppressive than perhaps they ought to be. But men of integrity like Omar Youssef and police officer Sammy maintain their dignity, their curiosity, and their stick-to-itiveness in the midst of all of that. As I noted earlier, the portrayal of the ancient city of Nablus becomes as much a character as Omar, Sammy, their colleagues, friends, and enemies. As another reviewer writes, quote, another stellar entry in the series. The author puts you right in the heart of the city of Nablus, and without letting on that he's doing so, gives you an interesting education into the city's history, the mingling of various religious and political parties, and the current state of affairs, end quote. In the end, it ought not be surprising that mysteries can be found the world over, that people keep secrets, hold grudges, and that efforts to unravel and find the truth are part of most every culture. So if you're up for a cracking good mystery with an old-school sensibility about it, set in a rarely visited part of the world for that genre, I'm glad to recommend The Samaritan's Secret to you. By the way, our author, Matt Benyon-Rees, was born in South Wales. He's covered the Middle East as a journalist for over a decade, was Time Magazine's Jerusalem bureau chief from 2000 to 2006. In other words, our author has the experience, the lived-in knowledge, to make the books in this series more than just a whirl of what-ifs. And indeed, reading this, you do get a real sense of what it must be like to live in the West Bank. Let's finish reading just a little bit deeper into our novel. A shepherd in baggy Turkish pants and an old blue seersucker jacket drove his herd toward the scanty pasture on Mount Gerizim. He maneuvered the goats to the side of the road, making way for Sammy's patrol car. A small black kid sprang stiff-legged from a rock and landed on the shaggy brown backs of the others. Omar Youssef smiled at the little goat's exuberance. He caught the mustiness of the herd on the cool air of the mountain, an inviting scent after the exhaust fumes and trash can stink of Nablus. But there had been a murder on the mountain, and Omar Youssef narrowed his eyes to look beyond the lively animals toward the ridge where someone lay dead. Sammy called police headquarters to report that he was en route to a murder scene. He held his walkie-talkie with his left hand, steering and changing gear with his right. The car veered toward the drop at the edge of the road whenever he reached for the gear shift. The old Samaritan watched Sammy cautiously from the back seat with his dazed, faded eyes. Maybe he lied to us simply because he doesn't trust the police, Omar Youssef thought. By Allah, the law around here doesn't usually inspire confidence. The priest couldn't know that Sammy's an honest officer. The odds, after all, would be against it. Sammy slipped the walkie-talkie into its dashboard mounting and looked at the priest in the rearview mirror. You're all related up here, aren't you? Are you all Samaritans? He said. Does this Ishak have a big family? The priest flinched and put his hand over his mouth. Well? Sammy turned around in his seat. His family? The priest leaned forward. Are you the Sami Jafri who was one of the Bethlehem deportees exiled to Gaza by the Israelis? He said. Omar Youssef saw Sammy's jaw tighten. How did you manage to get a job back here in the West Bank? The priest asked. I got a permit, Sammy said. He took a last drag on his cigarette and flicked it out the window. From the Israelis? Obviously. But they deported you to Gaza because they thought you were a dangerous gunman. Sammy ground the gears down into first as the road ribboned around a steep curve. The priest persisted. How did you change their minds? Omar Youssef knew how. His friend, Bethlehem's police chief, had convinced the Israelis of the truth about Sammy. The young officer had been working undercover among the town's gunmen when the Israelis arrested him. Omar's friend had even obtained a permit for Sammy's Gazan fiancée to join him on the West Bank. Don't you think a job on the Nablus police force is a continuation of Sammy's punishment? Omar Youssef said to the priest. Sammy clicked his tongue. Abu Ramiz, please, let it rest. The priest's voice became surly. He must have connections, he said. That's all I mean. From the Samaritan Secret, an Omar Youssef mystery. If you like this one, there are several more to read, and I think you'll enjoy them all. By Matt Benyon-Rees, it's available at all of our fine local libraries, especially at the West Lafayette Public Library.